name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Today is the third Sunday of Pascha. And this is a Sunday, the Sunday of the Holy Myrrh Bearers, as it's called. It's the day on which we commemorate the Holy Myrrh Bearers, whose names were accounted for in the Gospel, as well as the Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who is called the disciple by night, who we heard early in the Gospel of John, and then also assisting Joseph of Arimathea. Why are we commemorating these people today? Because they were there at that very window, right up to Christ's crucifixion and death and burial, and right after he rose from the dead. So they are very resurrectional for us. It's hard to imagine what that was like for them who have been following Christ all of those years and then to come to that place of the cross and to not be afraid like the disciples were afraid, but to stand there with Christ as he's being mocked upon the cross and as he's dying. And then to have the bravery of Joseph of Arimathea to go to Pontius Pilate and ask for the body of this one whom the Jewish leaders had just crucified. And then the bravery of the myrrh-bearing women to come that day after the Sabbath, to go first thing in the morning to anoint his body. There's a beautiful hymn that is chanted in the Vespers last evening and also in the Vespers of Great and Holy Friday. And this is a lament of Joseph of Arimathea that really points to the profound mystery of what Joseph experienced with Christ on the cross. It says, O you who cover yourself with light like a garment, when Joseph with Nicodemus took you down from the tree and beheld you dead, naked, and unburied, he struck up a compassionate dirge. And with mourning he said, Woe is me, O sweetest Jesus. When but a short while ago the sun beheld you hanging upon the cross, it shrouded itself in darkness. And the earth quaked with fear, and the veil of the temple was rent asunder. But behold, now I see you willingly submitting to death for my sake. How shall I bury you, O my God? Or how shall I wrap you with winding sheets? With what hand shall I touch your undefiled body? Or what dirges shall I sing at your departure, O compassionate one? I magnify your passion, I praise your burial and resurrection, and cry out to you, O Lord, glory be to you. Joseph of Arimathea took the nails out of God. He brought God down off of the cross. He carried God in his arms. He wrapped God in linen and carried his body to his tomb. And yet those days were just a few days of mourning and keeping vigil, because then the glory of the resurrection came. Then on the day after the Sabbath, after the Passover, those women came to anoint him. And this beautiful hymn that we sing, one of the many resurrectional hymns, it says, Before the dawn, Mary and the women came and found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They heard the angelic voice, Why do you seek among the dead as a man the one who is everlasting light? Behold the clothes in the grave. Go and proclaim to the world the Lord is risen. He has slain death, as he is the Son of God, saving the race of man. That hymn should be familiar to many of you who've been Orthodox longer. One of the beautiful resurrectional hymns that we sing, and we continue to sing resurrectional hymns each and every Sunday. You see, there is this sorrow that they experienced, and then the joy. Just as our Lord said to his disciples a little while before all of this in the Gospel of John, he said, Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. The holy myrrh bearers and Joseph and Nicodemus, who wept and lamented on Golgotha, were filled with joy. There's a beautiful hymn that we sing during, or we read rather, during the Paschal Hours, which are the prayers that we pray during Bright Week. And in the Paschal Hours it says, "How life-giving, how much more beautiful than paradise, and truly more resplendent than any royal palace is your grave, the source of our resurrection, O Christ." The grave is more beautiful than a royal palace, more beautiful than paradise, more resplendent than a royal palace. Do we really understand the magnitude of what Christ has done for us? Do we see the grave, the tomb of Christ, as this incredible thing more beautiful than paradise? This hymn points to the magnitude of what Christ has accomplished for us. Is the tomb more beautiful than paradise to us? In the Church of the Resurrection in Jerusalem, the Holy Sepulchre, as it's known, the actual part of the Holy Sepulchre complex that is called the Church of the Resurrection, there's a point which marks the point which is equidistant between Golgotha and the tomb. You may know this or not, but the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is a large church, and it includes both Golgotha, the place of the cross, and the tomb of Christ. And within the Church of the Resurrection there's this point that is equidistant between Golgotha and the tomb. That's the center of the world. That point right there is the center of the world upon which the entire world's axis turns, because everything has been changed by the death and resurrection of Christ. Everything has been changed. And everything centers around this reality. And anything that's not in reference to this is irrelevant, truly. All things must be placed on this compass. How am I a spouse or a parent in light of the resurrection of Christ, his death and resurrection? How am I with my coworkers? What major life decisions do I make in light of the death and resurrection of Christ? This goes all the way down to the smallest little things that we do in our life. Everything should be seen through the death and resurrection of Christ. In another hymn that we say during the Paschal Hours, that begins, "Having beheld the resurrection of Christ," it says, "Come, all faithful, let us venerate the holy resurrection of Christ, for behold, through the cross, joy has come to the whole world." Joy has come, a joy that the world did not know until the time of the resurrection of Christ. This is the joy of Pascha, the joy of resurrection, the joy of new life. We must each, my brothers and sisters, become like the Church of the Resurrection, where our internal compass is always aware of the death and resurrection of Christ. How can we become like this? We look to the holy myrrh-bearers as examples for us. The holy myrrh-bearers centered their lives around the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. They were there to the very, very end and right at the very, very beginning. They were always there. The myrrh-bearers also experienced the pain that we feel at times, the times that we feel like God has abandoned us. Imagine, they have been walking with him for years, witnessing miracles in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And there, his lifeless body is hanging on the cross. We all have had an experience of feeling like God is absent. But imagine that. Imagine that. So they experienced the pit of despair. They experienced a time when God was completely gone to them. And they had their time of weeping and lamenting, as we each have. But they kept their hope. So it wasn't true despair. It was anguish, sorrow, but not quite despair. Because they kept their hope. Even though they didn't know what to hope for, they just knew, we stay with Christ. And so, after that day of rest, of the Sabbath, of the Passover, the high feast, then in the very early morning, they rush to the tomb, bringing what they have to offer. And likewise, this is what we can do. We bring what we have and offer it to the body of Christ. The myrrh bearers brought those spices and myrrh to anoint his body, even though they knew there was a stone between them and Christ. A huge stone that they could not roll away. It almost sounds foolish. They're walking to the tomb saying, "Who will roll the stone away? Didn't you think about this?" Because their zeal is so great, it doesn't matter what's there. They are going to Christ, no matter what is in the way. And so what Christ did is he took the stone away for them so that they could come and experience his very resurrection. So that hope, that faith that the myrrh bearers have is an example to us. And that faith is a faith that is beyond logic. They're going to anoint the dead body of God with a stone that is too large to move, and yet they still continue forward. This is what faith is. Faith is not something that is logical. Understand that. There's this beautiful folk song that on a CD that the monastery in Goldendale put out. The song is called Faith. And it's actually a Greek folk song, but this is translated into English. It says, "Faith isn't when you await for grain of wheat to grow into a harvest, and when you take a fruitless tree and graft it and wait for blossoms to spring. That's not faith," it says. "Faith is when from dry and barren earth and from a dry tree burned by lightning, you expect refreshing fruits to blossom from a tree that's adorned by fresh green leaves." And it goes in the second verse, "Faith isn't when the evening darkness falls and you wait for it to see storms appearing. And it isn't when the birds begin to sing at dawn and you await for the sun." Right? You hear the birds, so you know the sun is coming. "Faith is when, knowing how illogical and false to your mind it seems, you wait for the sun to rise at midnight and for bright stars to appear at midday." Our faith should not be something that is simply logical, because that's not faith. That's called logic. Logic will only get us so far. Logic will keep us within the realm of our own understanding and our own view of the world. And we will never get out of our view of the world to see this great thing that is illogical, which is God himself dying on a cross. What is more completely beyond logic than that? Completely illogical. This is the faith that we need to have, is that faith of those myrrh bearers, who even though their God had died on a cross, and even though he was placed in a tomb that had an immense stone in front of it, they continued forward. They were not stopped in any way. You can imagine them going towards the tomb. If I'm sure for some of you have been Orthodox long enough, and now with YouTube we have these videos of the priests on Holy Saturday throwing bay leaves. Have you seen these where they go running down the center aisle, throwing the bay leaves as quickly as they can? Beautiful joy. I don't know that I'll ever do that, but literally sprinting. Sprinting and throwing the bay leaves as far as they can. Why? Because they're an image of those myrrh bearers. What did they do when they came and found the angel? The angel told them, "Go and proclaim it to the world." That joy that they must have had when they left the tomb, when everything that they understood in the last few days completely turned over and everything became right again. That is the joy that we have now in the resurrection. So this is a time in which we especially remember Christ's resurrection, but it is to help us remember all the time, Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.